Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to talk to us live, of course, you can hit us up in the chat room and we can take your questions, your comments and opinions there as well. I'm happy to tell you that the majority of the fans really seemed to enjoy last night's Monday Night Raw. And they had a couple of good reasons to do so. The opening segment, which we'll get to in a minute, I thought was very, very, very well done. And the close, I thought was very, very, very well done. Now, if you start a show strong and you end a show strong, oftentimes, I've said this quite often on this show, fans will forgive the middle. You started out strong, you ended strong, and fans say, that's okay. I'm not one of those fans. It's not that I don't appreciate what when they do the right thing, because I do. But I do not forgive the middle, because that's an old trick. That's an old, we'll give you a little bit of what you want, and then you sit up and beg like a dog and say, oh, yes, master, that's what I want. Well, here's the problem. For every good thing Raw did last night, and they did several good things, they did several horrible, ridiculous things. And we're going to get to it all, but let's be fair and let's start out segment by segment. Paul Heyman gets in the ring, cuts a pretty good promo, basically calls Drew McIntyre a big dumb bitch. Drew McIntyre comes out. Brock Lesnar tries to sneak attack him. He gets claymored for his effort. Now, I know a lot of people are, you know, really giving the thumbs up to Brock Lesnar for selling, and so am I. Brock Lesnar did a great job of selling, not only just selling the first one, but then he got claymored two more times on the outside, and he really sold the hell out of it. But here's the problem I have with people who are just giddy about that. That's his job. That's like saying, I'm so happy that they put all the groceries in the bag at the store that I shop in, because normally they forget to put some things in the bag. Well, that's not good then. We shouldn't be celebrating something that has to be every single time should be the case. We shouldn't be celebrating that like it's, oh, wonderful. No, that's status quo. What you saw last night out of Brock Lesnar should always be. He did his job. He did his job. He didn't go above and beyond. He did his job. When somebody goes above and beyond, then I will set up and applaud them and say how wonderful and marvelous they are. And I do that on this show. But what Brock Lesnar did, while it was great and it was fun to watch, that's just his job. So if you're applauding the fact that he finally did his job, okay. But I know that when I go to, you know, a restaurant, if they get my order right, I don't say, yay, that's the greatest restaurant in the world. They finally got my order right. I know they didn't do it the last six times. But this time they did. I can say I'm glad they did. I'm glad Brock Lesnar sold Drew McIntyre. It made it a hell of a lot more fun. But I'm not willing to put the blue ribbon on him for doing his job. He did his job. He did it well. He obviously likes McIntyre. I told everybody that he liked McIntyre, and I think he probably handpicked McIntyre. And I'm sure he'll sell to him. My real problem with this, if I do have one, is anytime Brock Lesnar goes out of his way to look that bad, I have to think he might be winning at WrestleMania. Because I'm not thinking Brock Lesnar makes himself look that bad and then says, oh, and also I lose two. Let me see, Vince. You want me to totally oversell this guy like he ran me over like a freight train? And then also at WrestleMania, you want me to lose? That doesn't sound like Brock Lesnar. So let's hope that he hasn't changed his mind about taking some time off, because we really should have Drew McIntyre with that belt around his waist. Now, it's possible that Brock Lesnar has decided he likes McIntyre and he wants to make sure that McIntyre looks good and all that stuff. That's very possible. But I just want to put that out there, that anytime Brock Lesnar shows that kind of ass, he usually ends up winning the match. So what's your thoughts on this opening segment, Mike? I thought it was a very good segment, but I do know that everyone who was praising Brock Lesnar today should remember this is just the way it works. This isn't going above and beyond. It's just doing your job.
You know, I'll put it to you this way. Yeah, he did his job, but again, remember, he chooses whom he does his job against. He was supposed to do his job against gender, and he chose not to.
Right.
All right. Now, I get why he chose not to, but that wasn't his choice. That shouldn't have been his choice to make. He should have done the job against gender, even if it didn't lead to him winning or not. He should have did his job against gender, made gender look good, you know. But like I said, he chooses who he does his job against. That's my problem with Brock Lesnar.
I agree with you. I mean, it's not exactly like he let Ricochet get in 1 second worth of offense in Saudi Arabia. How good did he make him look? Oh, you want to nutshot me and I have to sell it at the Royal Rumble? Fine. Then at the match we have, you don't get one shot in. Nothing. I just decimate you. That's what I mean. I'm a little nervous about the Drew McIntyre thing now after some of the behavior I've seen. What's your thoughts on the opening segment, Todd? I thought it was pretty good, but again, I think it's just Lesnar's doing his job. He's promoting WrestleMania.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a pretty strong open. It was a pretty good thing, a pretty good opening right there. Like you said, Paul Heyman didn't do like a long-ass promo like he usually does. It took like about 10 minutes to do an excitement when Drew McIntyre came out.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't against it. I mean, let it play out. It was fine. It's just that I'm not willing to put the blue ribbon on Brock Lesnar just because he did his job. Strong segment? Absolutely. Did I enjoy the segment? Absolutely. Am I willing to now be a Brock Lesnar mark and say, oh, he's finally selling? No, I'm not. I don't forget what happened in Saudi Arabia. I don't forget what he did with Dean Ambrose when he basically refused to sell anything during that match because he didn't want to wrestle him. So, yeah. Anyway, we start this off with the Street Profits. Now, if they could have said any more, this is the very last chance they will ever get to ever, 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 ever have the belts. And if they lose, they might as well leave because they're never going to get another chance. And I don't know where they're going to go from here because they're a tag team. And if they can't go for the tag team belts, why even bother being wrestlers? This is the very last chance, you know. If they do this and they lose, they're done. They're finished. They're kaput. Why don't you just say they're going to win? You may as well just say they're going to win. Because by the time the announcers got done shoving it down our throats, remember, folks, they're a tag team. And if they don't win, they can never have another shot at the tag team titles, which means they're basically, washed up. They might as well leave. They may as well not even be around here. They're done. They're finished. They're has-beens. Okay, well, then I get it. They're winning. And then the announcer, ladies and gentlemen, the very last time they will have. I said, you got to be kidding me. You're making the announcer say it? Well, then I knew they were winning. I absolutely 100% knew they were winning. Now, is it the right decision? Well, I don't know. I'm going to say we have to adopt a wait-and-see attitude here, and I'll tell you why. Rollins and Murphy could win it right back at Elimination Chamber. This could have been nothing but we need an Elimination Chamber match. We don't have any matches, and it's Sunday. Do you realize that they booked 3 or 4 matches last night because they didn't have any? The pay-per-view before WrestleMania, they got nothing in the can. Almost nothing. So somebody said, hey, man, we better lead to some matches tonight, or I don't know what we're going to put on Sunday. So it's very possible that this rematch could just be a flip-flop and lead to an AOP versus a Street Profits feud. Well, the AOP cost us our belt, so we're going to go after them. That could very well happen. I don't think it will, because I think the WWE realized their mistake that Seth Rollins never should have been a tag team champion to begin with. So do I applaud them for correcting their mistake? Yes. Does it eliminate the fact they made the mistake? No. It was a waste of time. Why give them the belts at all? Who do they defend it against? Why give them the belts at all? Please tell me the mindset behind that. Are you going to tell me that that's what you had planned? Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy get the belts. They'll defend it successfully once in Saudi Arabia, and then they'll lose it. That's what we got planned. That's why we're giving them the belts. You mean to tell me that was your plan? Then why give it to them at all? What's the point? Give it to the AOP. So, yeah, that was just a confusing mess. Do I think the Street Profits deserve the belts? No, I don't. Were they popular in Brooklyn? Yes, they were. But this is a team, I'm telling you, that's going to be short-lived. It's going to be short-lived. I don't know they're going to defend it against, because there isn't really anybody. You got the AOP and the Viking Raiders, and that's about it. So I'm going to adopt a wait-and-see attitude here. We'll see what happens come Elimination Chamber. If Rollins and Murphy fail to get their hands on the belts again, fine. Then at least you got that away from them. And maybe they can move on and do things they are supposed to do in a solo manner. But I think we all know that Seth Rollins had said he wanted time off after WrestleMania along with Becky Lynch. So, hey, you know, they wanted him to probably drop any commitments to belts and things, right? And again, the reason I don't give this a high grade, the announcers gave away the ending by constantly telling us this is the last shot they'll ever get, folks. Remember, how would you feel if you're a tag team and this is it? This is your doomsday. You lose, you might as well go home. You'll never get another shot, you know. Yeah, we get it. They're winning. We get it. You may as well just flash it up on the screen. They're winning tonight. So you gave away that ending. So that's why I don't give this really high grades, Mike.
I don't give it high grades. You know, I don't give it high grades either. And the thing is we talk about the WWE and mistakes versus, let's say, the AEW and their mistakes. The AEW tend to, if they make a mistake, they tend to correct the mistake almost right away. Whereas it takes a while for the WWE to correct their mistakes. This was a mistake, and Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy, and Rollins and Murphy held the belts for how long now? Three, four weeks? Almost a month? So that's compounding your mistake. Yeah, they corrected the mistake, and I'm all for it, but they compounded it.
Plus, Mike, it's different. Like, making a mistake would say, look, we think the 24/7 belt will be a really cool idea. And then saying, oh, man, no, it's not working out too good. Maybe we'll change it to something a little more serious. That's correcting a mistake. Giving the tag team belts to a non-tag team when in their clique is a legitimate tag team is more than a mistake. It's ridiculous. And then when they figure it out, it's ridiculous. That's a mistake you can't make. Correct it or not, it's a mistake you can't make. Now, I do want to say about the opening segment one more thing. This is the Drew McIntyre we want to see. I don't want to see Drew McIntyre cracking jokes. I don't want to see Drew McIntyre coming out doing a funny little dance. I don't want to see Drew McIntyre coming out and saying, okay, crowd, everybody point to the WrestleMania sign. This is crowd participation time. I want to see Drew McIntyre come out like he came out last night, where it was 100% just badass. I'm in your face. I'm not afraid of you. I'll kick your head off your shoulders, which is exactly what he did. And you heard the crowd response, right? That's what they want to see. let Drew McIntyre's personality be what it is, and it's fine for him to once in a while engage the fans. But for the most part, he's got to be serious because that's what they want. We then get maybe the most unbelievable thing maybe I've seen on Raw in the past, oh, I don't know, 10 years. Riddick Moss defending the 24/7 belt against Ricochet. And I want everyone to remember that the announcers once again said, you know, after that terrible, humiliating, ridiculous, horrible loss, let's rub it right in. Remember, he didn't get a punch in. So disappointing. After wasting and blowing his title opportunity, Ricochet needs to rebound. This is his rebound match. He needs to get back on the right track. And then he promptly loses clean to Riddick Moss. Nothing spells I'm through with you like losing clean to Riddick Moss for the 24/7 belt. If you're a Ricochet fan, you can hear the trumpets in the background in his career. They're done with him. Maybe they'll form him into a tag team with somebody. Maybe he'll be a strong mid-carder, but I doubt it. They're done with him. And I'll tell you what has made Vince McMahon sour on him. They gave him that shot at Saudi Arabia and said, look, this doesn't even look realistic. He just gets slapped away by Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar trounces him in 15 seconds, 20 seconds. He can't recover from that. How do you expect now? What's he supposed to do now? Come out and beat everybody? Be a world beater? Be a superhero now all of a sudden he can beat everybody? Nah. That's the downturn of his career. Now he's going to have to start jobbing to some people. We need to have him put over people we are going to use, like Riddick Moss. I don't know what to tell you. You never used them correctly to begin with, ever. Because you made him basically another Finn Balor. I'm small, but I'm just as strong and tough as everybody. No. Ricochet, from the very beginning, should have been a guy who was always the underdog but managed to pull it out, tough it out. Didn't take all that abuse because logically your body can't take that abuse if you're that small and the other guy's so big. This is the same guy who pinned how many people? Way bigger than him? Please. Loses like a bitch to Brock Lesnar, and now it's, we can't use him. They book him to lose like that and then say, oh, well, after that humiliating loss, how can we expect him to win? Well, I don't know. You're the one that booked him. Why'd you make it a humiliating loss? Why didn't you make it an 8-minute match? I know why, because Brock Lesnar didn't want it. So the same people who are saying, isn't Brock Lesnar wonderful for selling Drew McIntyre? Isn't Brock Lesnar wonderful for destroying Ricochet's career because he refused to sell to him even for a minute? Ask Ricochet, what's he think of Brock Lesnar now that he's dropping matches to Riddick Moss for the 24/7 belt? When at one time he was a championship contender. Mike, this one actually made me angry because I didn't see the point of it. I thought we were going to see Mojo Rawley come out or maybe R-Truth and the whole thing was just going to turn into a mess. But no, it's a clean victory for Riddick Moss.
You know, if I'm Ricochet, I'm just going to play out the string until my contract is up and then go someplace else. I mean, you know, that's what I would do if I'm Ricochet. Now, yeah, you're right. We said it before with Brock Lesnar. He sells who he wants to sell, you know. Whereas any normal wrestler would sell who the company tells you to sell. And if you don't, you're done, you know. If you don't, you're going to get suspended or you're done, you know. But it's Brock Lesnar. We can't do that to Brock Lesnar, right? So,
yeah,
I like the fact that it appears because they're not having people chase after the guy, you know, around the ring. They're trying to make it a more serious thing, but couldn't they have done it couldn't they have done it against somebody else rather than Ricochet? That's another thing. They choose a guy that they know they have nothing more for to do it against. You know?
Well, that's what I'm saying, Mike. Do you think for 1 minute, if the object is we want to make the 24/7 belt credible, then give it to Ricochet and say, well, you know, he didn't come up good against Brock Lesnar, but he's the 24/7 champion, and this is going to mark a new era in the 24/7 championship because now it's going to be contended seriously in the ring. That would have been good, and that would have been a way to rehab Ricochet. They didn't want to rehab Ricochet. If they wanted to rehab Ricochet, this was the way to do it. Instead, you had him lose clean. He didn't even cheat. He just lost clean. Now, I want to tell, because some fans are saying, well, you know, Brock Lesnar doesn't book the matches. Well, let me inform you on something. If Brock Lesnar went to Vince McMahon or whoever and said, look, you got me booked 30 seconds here. He gives me a drop kick. I brush it off like he doesn't exist. I give him 4 suplexes and an F5 and pin him. I don't want to bury the guy like that. Let's give the fans a little more. Let's give them a couple of minutes here. You know, let him hit me with some of the high flying stuff, knock me off my feet a little bit, make him look like he's running me, and then I'll catch him. When I catch him, I'll finish him. Can we do 5 minutes? So that his career's not ruined? Guess what they would have said? Yes, Brock, whatever you want, Brock. Absolutely, Brock. That's what they would have said. And if Brock Lesnar was any kind of a person, he would have said, yeah, this isn't going to work well for Ricochet's career. So can we give him just a minute or two's offense? I'll sell to him. Just for a minute, you know. Give me a couple of missile drop kicks, you know. I'll miss a couple things in the corner. Whatever has to happen, show that his speed is confusing me a little, then I'll catch him. Can we do that? Yes, sir, Brock, we can do that. No, Brock Lesnar's like, fuck him. I want to be in and out of here in 2 minutes, or I'm not even showing up. And then you're all, you know, giddy because he sold to Drew McIntyre because the WrestleMania match is important. Every match is important. That's what I want fans to understand. There were fans in that audience that is their WrestleMania, okay? There's a lot of fans who are not going to see WrestleMania. They were in that audience that day. That was their WrestleMania. And what did Brock Lesnar give them? He gave them nothing. So, no, I'm not willing to pin a blue ribbon on Brock Lesnar because he sold to Drew McIntyre. I'm glad he did, but that's just called doing your job. So, Todd, I was really shocked that, you know, Riddick Moss gets a clean victory over Ricochet.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said with Riddick Moss. And, you know, I remember when Ricochet was in NXT, he didn't job or anything. Or when he was in Lucha Underground, he didn't job matches after match after match. They didn't cuff him on two different shows.
It's one thing to lose. Everybody loses. It's another thing to – you just come off a ridiculous loss to Brock Lesnar, and you definitely need a rebound match. And instead you get buried by losing clean to Riddick Moss? Fans were chanting, who are you? Unbelievable. And as we predicted, successfully pat ourselves on the back, give us all a gold ribbon. Eric Rowan reveals what's in his cage, and it is indeed exactly what I said it was going to be, a giant spider, a mechanical spider that looks about as real as, oh, I don't know. So you ask us as fans to emotionally invest in what's in the cage. It's something important. It's a big deal. This is going to lead to a big thing for Eric Rowan, and it turns out to be a mechanical spider. And we're all supposed to believe, no, that's a real spider, and it bit people, drew blood and everything. I told you it was going to be a joke. I told you this whole thing was going to backfire. I knew it when they had no idea what was in that cage. That's the problem. They wrote this thing and said, I don't know, we'll figure it out. And then they can't think of anything. So the best thing they can do is let's come up with a joke. It's a mechanical spider. I can't think of anything worse than this. Eric Rowan is done. to show you how done he is, the dark match last night was Drew McIntyre versus Eric Rowan, and it lasted about a minute and a half, and Drew McIntyre just dusted Eric Rowan. Eric Rowan is done. He's a comedy act now. He's George the Animal Steel with a mind doll. And No Way Jose, he's just an afterthought. They're like, yeah, you never do anything but eat up our catering. You be the guy to ask him what's in the cage. And the big reveal, obviously, will be not in front of an audience, because the audience would have booed the frig out of that. So we'll do it backstage, where we can cut the audio if we have to. This is what you had us invest in for months? Mike, this, I knew it was coming. I told you it was a spider, but I had hoped that my sources were wrong. I said, they'll never do it. Maybe they did discuss it. Maybe my source is right. They discussed it, but they're never going to do it because they know it's going to be a disaster. No, Mike, they did it.
Oh, they did it. And look, they have the tendency to do this stuff. Give us crap stuff when there's something good that shows up, like that doll that looked like Liv Morgan.
Right.
Leads down a blind alley. They tend to do this to us all the time. You know, and look, about that spider, I saw that spider, and to tell you the truth, I remember there was a movie called Wild Wild West with Will Smith, and the ending of the movie was them fighting against a giant mechanical spider. That spider in that movie looked more real than this one. That should tell you something. That was a bad movie.
It's a bad spider, too. And that's the thing that's supposed to have bit people and drew blood. Oh, my God. I just, you know, those are the moments where you just, if you're watching it with a non-wrestling fan, you just have to say, oh, dear, how do I ever explain this? Oh, my God. It's just humiliating. I don't know. Poor Eric Rowan. Poor Eric Rowan. What's supposed to be AJ Styles versus Aleister Black. Now, I knew something was going to happen because I said, wait a minute. Why are they having him fight Aleister Black before The Undertaker? I mean, doesn't AJ Styles have to look strong before The Undertaker matches? So he can't drop to anybody. And certainly they won't have Aleister Black drop. So what's going to happen here? Well, I thought they'd bailed out. When he said, oh, you got to fight first Carl Anderson to get to me. I said, okay. He's never going to get to AJ. Maybe even The Undertaker is going to come out. Who knows? So he beats Carl Anderson. Oh, now you got to fight Luke Gallows. And Luke Gallows just mauls him like an animal, by the way. I don't think, did Aleister Black get a shot in it? Luke Gallows, not much. And he gets disqualified. He beat his ass so much he gets disqualified. And then AJ comes in and, you know, two moves, he's done. One, two, three. Now, if you think that this is a good idea to use Aleister Black, your future, as a setup guy for your past, The Undertaker, I want you to really reconsider how you think about wrestling. The idea is to use your past to set up your future. You're setting up AJ Styles versus The Undertaker. The Undertaker is pushing 60. How do we set up AJ Styles versus The Undertaker? Let's use Aleister Black as the throwaway. Let's use him as the guy who gets his ass beat. And he's probably going to get his ass beat at the Elimination Chamber, because if you think AJ Styles is losing prior to a big WrestleMania match against The Undertaker, that would be bad too. I'll yell about that if it happens. You can't have AJ Styles get pinned by Aleister Black. If he's going to be pinned by Aleister Black, then why fight The Undertaker? That's not going to fly. It's a no disqualification match. You know that the other members are going to get involved, and he's going to lose again. Most likely he's going to lose again. Unless The Undertaker shows up and does something to AJ Styles and causes Styles to lose, which is possible. But either way, you have used Aleister Black to set up The Undertaker and AJ. And that is something you do not want to do, in my opinion. So Aleister Black counts the ring lights for the first time on Raw. And, okay, people can say, yeah, but it took the whole OC to do it. All right, yeah, it did, but he still lost. He still lost. And this is just to set up a match at the Elimination Chamber, which he could lose again. And unless The Undertaker does interfere, I predict he will lose again. Because I don't see them making AJ Styles lose before a WrestleMania match, a big WrestleMania match. Why would you do that? So I don't know, Todd. This one seemed a little odd to me. And again, you know, I don't think you throw away Aleister Black's win streak that way.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about Aleister Black and everything. And I got that feeling he's going to be like Ricochet, dropping matches from here on out.
Let's hope
I
not.
I got that feeling.
Let's hope not. Let's hope they realize we have to rehab them in some ways, because that didn't look good. I know it took the whole OC, Mike, and I know they said, oh, he still looks strong. He almost went through the whole OC in one night. Yeah, I get it. But at the same time, Mike, he still lost the match, and it looks like he could potentially lose the one at the Elimination Chamber.
Right, and it doesn't make sense. Yeah, I mean, on one level, it makes sense for a guy that's 6'7", you know, 6'6", 6'7", and 280 pounds to do what he did against a guy that's maybe 200 pounds in Aleister Black. But Gallows is a tag team wrestler. Black is a singles guy now. A singles guy should always beat, I don't care how big he is, a tag team wrestler. I know what they're trying to do there, but that's not the way things should happen. He should have beat Gallows, which he did, but he should have beat him. Clean.
Yeah, should have pinned them, yeah. I agree with that. At least if he pinned Gallows, even if he was in bad shape, you'd say, okay, well. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, technically speaking, it wasn't like he was beating Gallows, was it? I just think this was a very bad decision on the WWE's part, a very bad decision. We then get to Liv Morgan versus Ruby Riott with Sarah Logan as the special guest referee for, I don't know why. Because there's nothing good in the Elimination Chamber for the women, so we have to do something to cause a little bit of excitement, because otherwise everybody knows Shayna Baszler's winning. Well, this was ridiculous, and you want to talk about not working. Here's the good news. The good news is at least they let Liv Morgan win. I'm not sure it's the right move, but hey, at least they let Liv Morgan win. The other good news is, I'm a big Sarah Logan fan. I think she's a great wrestler, and I think she's pretty easy to look at. I like Sarah Logan. This was a bad use of her. A tremendously bad use of her. And truthfully, I was hoping, praying. I was practically on my knees saying, please, please, please let us see a reuniting of the Riott Squad. Make it look like they're battling it out. Whoever wins, wins. But then at the end, all of them get together. Because then we'd say, well, I don't know, man. People might be a little in trouble in that Elimination Chamber, because it's going to be 3-on-1 if those girls get out there. And I don't care who you are. You're not beating them 3-on-1. I really thought that might be where they were going with why Sarah Logan was the ref. She was going to be the kind of one in between. But even the booking was horrible. It's obvious Ruby Riott bumped into her accidentally. You can't be more obvious than that. She just barely touched her. It's not like she swung with a punch and Liv Morgan ducked and she actually hit Sarah Logan in the face, which would have been one thing. She just bumped her. Oh, you bumped me. I think you did that on purpose, so I'm going to quick count you. This was just terrible. Whoever booked this did a horrible job. All you had to do. By the way, nobody should have won. Sarah Logan should have disqualified everybody. All you had to do is have them, if you wanted them all to be at each other's throats, then here's what you do. You all have them get into a fight. Sarah Logan's trying to separate the two of them. They won't separate. They're throwing punches at each other. Sarah Logan says, ring the damn bell. They're both disqualified. They shove her down. She says, okay, the fight's on. And then everybody fights. If that's what you wanted to do. This ridiculous Ruby Riott gets rolled up in a 1-2-3 count. Come on, folks. I mean, that's so cheesy and bad, Mike. It doesn't hardly deserve a comment.
It really is. And look, I like Ruby Riott. I like her. She has a good look. I like Sarah Logan. But the person I'm going to focus on here is Liv Morgan. Her current gimmick should not be her gimmick right now. Her gimmick should be that doll we saw.
Yeah, I know. And they threw that all away, Mike. They threw that all away because we need something for to do with Lana. Okay. By the way, did I not see Ricochet beat Bobby Lashley? Did I not see Ricochet beat Bobby Lashley? And now Ricochet couldn't last 1 second with Brock Lesnar, and he gets beat by Riddick Moss. So what does that say about Bobby Lashley? No wonder we didn't see him. That's horrible. So yeah, this was just a mess. An absolute mess. We then get Shayna Baszler. Was supposed to be against Asuka. Apparently Asuka got hurt. Or maybe that's a bluff. I don't know. So instead it's going to be against Kairi Sane. I don't know why. Is Shayna Baszler a heel? I imagine the answer is yes. She bit Becky Lynch's neck until she bled. I imagine she's a heel. Is Kairi Sane not a heel? Yes. Were Asuka and Kairi Sane not acting like big heels? Yes. And then, to add insult to injury, here comes Becky Lynch out acting like more of a heel than Shayna Baszler. With her weird coat and sunglasses and a king's crown saying, I could take everybody in the locker room all by myself. What is going on? Don't tell me you're trying to turn Shayna Baszler face. You got Asuka and Kairi Sane, both heels. Shayna Baszler's not doing anything dirty, by the way. Becky Lynch is sitting on her ass saying, I'm the queen of the world. I'm the best ever. I can beat everybody at the same time. What is going on? What the hell is going on? By the way, I thought Becky Lynch said the next time I see Shayna Baszler, I'm going to pay my fine ahead of time. She didn't do anything to Shayna Baszler. This is ridiculous. This is a horrible segment. Absolutely horrible. Made Becky Lynch look a heel. It made Kairi Sane look like a face. It made Asuka look like a face. I don't know what you're doing. And I got to say it. I was the one who said, bring Shayna Baszler up, bring her up, bring her up, bring her up. Something's wrong. This is not the same Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler looks strong and confident and sure of herself, and she was throwing people around the ring and looking like a real world beater. She looks confused. She looks clumsy. She looks like she's losing her spot in the match. What the hell is going on? She's not impressive at all. I'm watching her against Kairi Sane, Kairi Sane is an impressive professional wrestler, and I'm saying Baszler's not living up to nothing. If this is the first couple times you saw Shayna Baszler, you'd be like, Shayna about nothing? What happened? You were doing great in NXT, putting on great matches. Now she's out here and she's shit in the bed. I don't get it, Mike. What the hell happened in this match? It's like the Twilight Zone.
I don't get it either. And look, here's the deal. You said, Kairi Sane and Asuka are supposed to be heels, but the problem we just thought there is, yeah, they're supposed to be heels, but they're developing into that cool heel type thing, you know, where people are going to cheer them even though you want them to be heels. Because of their gimmick, because of how they're coming across, how they're enjoying doing their jobs, people are going to cheer them. Okay, that's Asuka and Kairi Sane. So they're developing. Yeah, you want what you call it to be a what's her name to be a heel, but it's hard for them to, you know, it's hard for them if it's hard for somebody to be a heel if they're getting cheered. And right now, Sane and Asuka are getting cheered.
But then why would you possibly book her against Shayna Baszler? Well, you got a whole dressing room filled of women who are good guys. Why are you booking this? because Asuka's in the Elimination Chamber and you want that to be a whatever? No. Then all you have to do is just say, oh, folks, can you anticipate what might happen when Asuka and Shayna Baszler might meet each other? You don't have to do this, Mike. Bring out a face. And why is Becky Lynch sitting at the table talking like a heel?
I don't know. Again, mistakes.
I mean, I'm watching Becky Lynch and I'm saying, what is this? Did she just say she could beat all six women in that Elimination Chamber by herself easily? Wasn't this the Becky Lynch who a month and a half ago said, I don't even know if I can beat Asuka, but I have to know. She may be too much for me, but I have to press, you know, I have to be a fighting champion. I have to conquer my self-doubts. Now, all of a sudden, she's a sunglass wearing, I could beat anybody in the world with my hands tied behind my back to promote her against Shayna Baszler, who's supposed to be a heel. I don't know what the hell you're doing, WWE, but forget it. It's awful. Todd, that was a very confusing segment to me.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with the Asuka, I mean, Shayna Baszler. No, yeah, I meant to say the Kairi Sane match. You know, like you said, it's a confusing thing right there. Like the Twilight
I don't know what they're shooting for, especially with Becky Lynch being told to come out there and act heelish. I don't get it. Anyway, we then get Angel Garza and Andrade against Rey Mysterio and Humberto Carrillo. This was easily the match of the night. No question about it. This was a great match. The right person won, because if you're going to set up Humberto Carrillo versus Andrade, he sure as hell can't drop to him in the pre-show. So that made sense. You'll notice they left Garza alone to, oh, he's not the guy that's going to get pinned. They think the world of Angel Garza, I'm telling you. That debut that he made, I'm not just saying this to kiss anybody's ass. That debut he made impressed a lot of people, including myself, but much more important people. And I think the powers that be said, you need to make sure this guy stays strong. He's not dropping matches. They let their champion drop a match above Angel Garza. Now, I know why they did it, to prove that Humberto Carrillo can beat Andrade. And he probably will, actually, because from what I'm hearing, they're not too thrilled with Andrade all of a sudden. He was up for a big push, and then this wellness violation thing got in the way, and now I'm hearing they're not too thrilled with him. They've got their guy they want to run with in Garza, and it would not surprise me if Humberto Carrillo took that belt, and then Garza got a shot later and got it, and that's what starts the trouble between Garza and Andrade, is that Garza got his belt technically. That would not surprise me at all if that's the direction they're going. But either way, really good match. All four guys did a great job. The right person won. I have no problem with this match, Mike. I thought it was the best match of the night.
Yeah, and look, we've said it before. They have now a great Latino division.
Yeah, they do.
And look, even if we don't get this, we don't get to see Ray's son anytime soon, because you know that's coming, because they wouldn't have made a big deal when it happened by saying, well, he wants to tag team with his dad. And they said it over and over and over and over and over again. So you know that's coming at some point. But, yeah, and you could very well see that whole thing with Garza and Andrade happening. And, hell, if this whole thing with Charlotte Flair doesn't work out, you know, and they are cycling Garza down, we're possibly staring down the barrel of both Charlotte and Andrade leaving.
It could happen. It could happen. I mean, they're hedging their bets because they're saying, look, we got Humberto and Garza. I'll tell you this. What they have found is that those guys work really well together because their styles all gel. I want to see how Garza works with other people, and I want to see how – I've seen how Humberto Carrillo works with other people. It's not bad. I saw him work with Seth. I saw him work with AJ. It was good. I saw Garza work with Rusev. It was fine. But, man, when they work together, they, you know, the match quality is just that much higher. They're going to have to branch out eventually and work with others, but I think they got something good here. I mean, I always look forward to these matches now, and they've even sold me on Carrillo. I was not sold on Carrillo at all, and now I'm a little more sold on Carrillo and saying, okay, I can accept him as a, you know, viable guy if he's going to run in this sort of division and fight these type of people. I don't see Carrillo fighting, you know, Bobby Lashley being good. But if they're going to keep them in this, and this is why it was so important to keep Ricochet strong and keep some of the smaller guys strong. So you could put them against the Carrillos. You could put them against the Garzas. You could put them against these people, and you're not doing it. Well, let's get to the final segment. Beth Phoenix comes out, starts to give an update on the health of Edge, and Randy Orton comes out. And I think probably from the very moment Randy Orton came out, we all knew she was getting RKO'd. The fans did not help. When the fans are wrong, the fans are wrong. The fans who were yelling RKO, RKO should be ashamed of themselves. You wouldn't really be yelling that. You know, can you please suspend your disbelief? Please. Can you please do me that favor as fans? Try not to. I know what it is. We're smart. We're smarter than you. Yeah, well, you don't need to be, though. You're taking the enjoyment away from yourself. We know what's going to happen, and it's not for real. So do it, because it'll be fun. Stop. Stop. Do you do that in a movie? Do you go to a movie and laugh when, you know, some guy's getting beat up? Because he's not really getting beat up. Hit him again. No, you don't do that. Please don't do it in wrestling. It doesn't make you look smart. It makes you look dumb. It makes you look like you're an egomaniac who wants the world to know, we don't really believe this stuff. We're just here for the entertainment value. We think it's stupid. Can you just buy into it? Is your ego that big that you can't buy into it? Knock it off already. Sit back and enjoy the show and pretend while you're there that what's happening is happening. And you'll enjoy it a lot more. Take my word for it. Anyway, my hat's off to Beth Phoenix, who did a great job, and my hat's off to Randy Orton, who did a great job. But my hat's really off to the WWE writers, who probably must have tapped into our transmission here, because Randy Orton said exactly to the word what I said he should say. Exactly to the word. I did it. Because I knew that if he came back full-time, it's only a matter of time till somebody here puts him out for good and maybe cripples him. He's not ready. He thinks he's ready. He's not ready. And I did it for his own good because I wanted to prove to him, you're not ready. Now he can just stay home, forget all this nonsense, be a father, be a husband, and not come back and perhaps get crippled. That's exactly what I said he should say. And that's what he said. Now, the good news on that is, of course, nobody believes him. Of course, people say he's being disingenuous. But Beth Phoenix did a fantastic job. Randy Orton did a fantastic job. I'm not 100% sure why he no-sold a kick to the groin. Was it that he ducked it and it supposedly didn't hit him, I guess, is what it is? Or she tried and he moved? I don't know, but he totally no-sold it anyway. And gives her the RKO. I appreciate this, believe me. I really do. I think this is a great build-up. This is the best build-up for WrestleMania match. Easy, the best build-up they've done. And they've done it slow, exactly the way they're supposed to. This is the best build-up match for WrestleMania, period. But I do have a couple of problems with it. One being, if Beth Phoenix were competing in a match with Randy Orton, they'd have went 50-50. Because, of course, we have intergender matches now. Tessa Blanchard's a champion. She beat Sami Zayn. So I guess if that was Tessa Blanchard in the ring, she could take on Randy Orton. But helpless Beth Phoenix can't. As a matter of fact, the RKO didn't just knock her down and then she rolls out of the ring hurt. No, no, she needs medical attention. Wow. So which is it, WWE? Is it fine that men fight women, or is it not fine that men fight women? Because you're going to have to figure it out. And if a man fights a woman and he can cripple her with one move as opposed to doing it with a man, then why are we supposed to buy into she could fight someone at some point and perhaps win? So that's weird. Second thing is, if she really is injured, it doesn't really do a whole lot of good to have Zack Ryder and Kerr Hawkins out there. How about some medical doctors? How about an EMT team? So they could have done it a little bit better. But at the end of the day, they did the best they could. And I still think this is, again, you had a very strong opening to Raw. We can say, you know, I'm not saluting Brock Lesnar for finally selling because it's his job, but at least he did his job. And so in doing his job, that segment has to get a strong an A. That segment's definitely an A. And if that segment's an A, then this one is certainly an A plus. Because this could have went really bad. Okay? If Beth Phoenix were not able to convincingly look like she was crying, if Beth Phoenix did a horrible job, if Beth Phoenix, you know, wasn't able to convey her emotions with her facial expressions and body language, this segment goes down the drain. And she did. And Randy Orton did. And the fact that Randy Orton gives her a stunner solidifies the point that he may be telling the truth in his mind about why he thinks he did this for Edge. But he's being disingenuous, and the truth is he's jealous. We all see that clearly now as fans, and we're not. It's not being force-fed to us. The announcers didn't say, he's lying, he did it because he was jealous. No, we get it. See, you let the fans draw their conclusion from this. You see when he was talking about your family and this and that, you know, and I don't want Edge coming back here, because now we know why he doesn't want Edge coming back, because somehow Edge coming back solidifies the fact that Edge helped him at a certain point in his career, and he now feels he has to take a back seat to Edge in some manner. He may have to take a back seat to him, and he doesn't want to. He was happy that Edge was retired because now he's the big star. We see that now as fans, and you didn't have to force feed it to us. We get it. So that was well written. That was well done. Except the ending, which I would have liked a little less Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder. And, you know, it was okay maybe that Natty comes out, but that was a little overdone. Jerry Lawler, again, does his normal job of he's a big Randy Orton, you know, supporter, but he says, no, this is wrong. This is taking it way too far. They also do a good job when they pull people away, the camera away, so they're not really showing. I wish they had have continued that. I wish they had have said, look, she's receiving medical attention. Maybe just in the background, notice a few people coming down saying, we're not going to put the cameras on her for obvious reasons. Because then that would have created some doubt. Did she take the move wrong? Is everything okay? What's going on? Would have been very interesting. So this segment was fantastic. And the WWE did themselves a favor after this segment in the dark match when they had Drew McIntyre come out and say, that was a disgusting thing to do, and I want Randy Orton to come out here right now, and I'll kick his head off his freaking shoulders. And Randy Orton didn't come out. Eric Rowan did, and Eric Rowan got his head kicked off his shoulders. No giant spider attack. That just solidifies that Drew McIntyre is willing to stand up and, you know, for people. It sent the fans home happy. Sent the fans home happy. So a very strong segment to end Raw. That's certainly an A-plus segment. It really should be an A-minus segment, but I'll give it an A-plus segment because it didn't ruin it too much that they didn't have, like, legitimate paramedics down there. It was all right. I think they did it as well as they could. So you started out with an A-segment. You ended with an A-segment. That's a very, very good thing. But in the middle was a shit sandwich. I mean, let's just face it. Call it what it was. Okay, you corrected the mistake that Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy are champions, but you did it in a fucked up way, and now we don't know where the hell this thing is heading, and wait till Elimination Chamber, and let's see. You destroyed Ricochet. You hurt Aleister Black slightly, and maybe even more come Elimination Chamber. I don't know what the hell you were doing with Shayna Baszler. Apparently the Kabuki Warriors, they don't know whether they want them heels or faces, and Becky Lynch has decided she's just going to be a heel whether you like it or you don't. The Riot Squad thing was a total shit sandwich. If you have that big of a hair trigger temper that, oh, I got bumped and I'm going to attack Ruby Riot. What the hell are you talking about? You just barely got bumped. That didn't play at all. And yes, you had a really good match near the end of the night with Garza and Andrade versus Rey and Carrillo. That was fine. It's not A+, but it was a strong B. So you had an A segment, another A segment, a B segment. In between there, you had a giant mechanical spider reveal. That's an F. You had Ricochet lose to Riddick Moss for the 24/7 belt. That is an F. That is a big F. You had Aleister Black cut through a couple of the OC, but lose to AJ just to set up another match to set up the Undertaker match. That's a D. And then you had this ridiculous thing where Shayna Baszler looks like a face compared to everybody else in the ring. She was the least heelish. Why? That's a D. So unfortunately, this whole thing cannot be given. You know, a lot of fans, I talked to Derek, who sometimes comes up in the chat room earlier, and he gave this an A+, and I just don't understand how. Okay, you got a good A segment in the beginning, you got a good A segment at the end, and then what do you got in the middle? Some self-destructive, horrible booking? That can't be an A+. I'm sorry. Just because you like the beginning, just because you like the end. You can't be that easy on them. It just goes to show that fans are conditioned to, if anything is good, it's better than what we usually get. Okay, well, that's like saying usually I get a shit sandwich, and today they gave me, a sandwich with pickles on the shit. Well, it ain't much better. Now, I'm not giving this a D. I'm not even giving it a C minus. But it's not an A+ show. Not in my mind. I will give this a B minus. And I probably should just give it a flat C. But I'll give it a B minus mostly because I think Beth Phoenix's performance at the end was so strong. Not even Randy Orton's, Beth Phoenix's. At the end of the day, that scene had to be sold by her. There's certain scenes, even in a movie or in a play or whatever, where you say both people have to be good actors, but the scene itself relies on your performance. And in this case, it was Beth Phoenix's performance. It relied 100% on it. And if she had fucked it up or wasn't good at it, it would have been a shit sandwich. And she didn't. So for that reason, I'm going to give it I'll give it a B minus, Mike. What's your rating?
I'm going to go ahead and give it a B minus as well. And look, that segment we're talking about felt like a Paul Heyman segment. Felt like something we would see in ECW with, you know, you ending up going through a table or something like that. You know, that's what that felt like. And when she came out there, I knew Randy Orton was going to come out there. And I was just saying, look, they better end this thing with her getting RKO'd. That's the only way I would have accepted that segment is with what they exactly gave us. You know, her getting RKO'd. You know, that's what I want to see. I'm not all that unhappy that he didn't sell that thing. Maybe she just didn't catch him in the right spot for him to actually feel like he could sell it. I don't know. But yeah. And as far as the Kabuki Warriors, they've got to do something to stop. If they want them as heels, they got to do something to stop the people from cheering them.
I agree. And if they want Becky Lynch as a face, they better stop telling her to sit at the table. She's a million miles better than everybody in the women's division, because that's really not going to endear herself. Todd, what's your rating this week, and what did you like and dislike?
I'm going to give it a B minus.
Okay, what was what's your rationale behind that? What did you like and dislike?
I liked the opening. The opening was pretty good.
Yep.
And I just didn't care for the Eric Rowan spot right there where they revealed a toy spider.
That was one of the worst spots. I will give it that. But at least that's not that self-destructive. Like Eric Rowan, if you're going to use Eric Rowan as a minor character, whatever. I think it was more destructive to have Ricochet lose to Riddick Moss, because I'm saying, God almighty, just came off the loss to Brock Lesnar. If anything, you need to rehab him now. You want to give him the 24/7 belt. It's not a very prestigious belt, but you could say, well, now it could be potentially prestigious. Ricochet's got it. He's a serious athlete. That would have been the way to rehab Ricochet. Instead, no, he loses clean. I think that was the most devastating thing on the show. That was the jaw-drop moment for me where I said, oh, you got to be kidding. This is the guy you're supposed to be rehabbing, and you let him drop clean to Riddick Moss? The crowd was chanting, who are you? They don't even know the guy. He just shows up as a sidekick to Mojo, and all of a sudden he's beating Ricochet? Wow. And I didn't like the Aleister Black thing either. I thought both were self-destructive to characters. I do want to point one thing out. Recently, we had Bray Wyatt tweet that the loss in character, that the loss to Goldberg is all a part of a bigger plan. He basically said we have to come full circle to where it began. Well, what does he mean, come full circle to where it began? Well, what he's trying to tell the fans is the beginning of the end of Bray Wyatt was when I lost to John Cena. He's absolutely right. The whole crowd was chanting. He's got the whole world in his hands. I'm telling you, that was the moment where we said Bray Wyatt is a superstar. And the minute he dropped to John Cena, it was over. So now Bray Wyatt, once again taking the fans' intelligence into consideration, says, all a part of a larger plan. You have to die to be reborn. Come full circle, meaning he's going to fight John Cena. That's him putting the best spin he can on losing to Goldberg. But in a rare moment of him breaking character, a guy who I think helped design some of the costume or something, or helped design the mask, was complaining on Twitter about The Miz and Morrison losing to the Usos right after winning the belts. And he said, how do you have your tag team champions drop the very next match after they win the belts? Are they purposely trying to destroy their own characters? And Bray Wyatt responded, yes. Just yes. To me, that means Bray Wyatt realizes he suffered incredible harm in that match with Goldberg. And he knows it. And he's trying to spin it any way he can because he's a real intelligent guy. And he's saying, if I make it look like this was a part of a bigger plan, maybe they'll accept it. There's only so many of them spins you can do, though, before fans say, yeah, I ain't buying it. He tried his best with Bray Wyatt saying that. Oh, it's a bigger plan. Losing doesn't mean you lost. But eventually you're like, oh, God, he's just making excuses for losing. So even Bray Wyatt realizes that they are really destroying their characters. At this point, if I was the WWE, Ricochet would be the 24/7 champion. Maybe you have Mojo Rawley come down and do something to Riddick Moss, and then you have their feud, right? Riddick Moss and Mojo Rawley's going to go at it, but Ricochet's the champion. You now have a credible 24/7 belt, and you have a credible champion in Ricochet who says, I may not have been able to beat Brock Lesnar. Maybe I was a little out of my lane. That's a big, strong, huge dude. But I got this, and I'm going to bring some prestige to this title. That was kind of a joke. There you have Ricochet. And look at all the people he could fight. My God. It would be fantastic. And you'd still have Riddick Moss versus Mojo if that's what you wanted. So good. Aleister Black absolutely should not have lost to AJ Styles. Absolutely should not even book the match. You shouldn't even book the match. You want AJ Styles to look strong before the Undertaker match? Find somebody else. Find somebody else. You got somebody else that AJ Styles can beat the hell out of. But as sure as hell shouldn't have been Aleister Black. That should have been saved. These are just unforced errors, folks. Just unforced errors. And how good would it have been if – I know you want the belts off Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy never should have put them on him to begin with. That's your fault. But maybe we could have done some situation where AOP came down and attacked the Street Profits. And we would have the Street Profits and the AOP going at it, with the AOP saying they cost us our final shot at the tag team gold, as long as Buddy Murphy and Seth Rollins hold them. Well, here's a newsflash. You ain't going to hold them much longer, boys. We're going to see to that. Then you got something good there, because you're like, okay, now you really have pissed off the Street Profits, and they're going to dedicate their career to making sure you don't hold the belts very long, because they kind of got to do that, don't they? Otherwise, they're never going to get a title shot. There were so many unforced errors in the middle. That's why I can't give this a great grade. WWE does this on a regular basis. So what's your thoughts on this Bray Wyatt tweet? I mean, at first, Mike, he seemed to try to excuse the loss by saying it's part of my bigger plan. But then when he was pressed by a guy who knows him for real outside the ring, he basically said, yeah, they're trying to destroy characters here in the WWE. That's alarming.
It is alarming. And look, I understand that he did. I think he just recently signed his contract, so he can't really do what some of these other guys are doing, that like Andrade or people like that. They're playing out the string that we all know the contract is coming up and coming up relatively soon. He can't do that. And there's no doubt in my mind, you're looking at a guy that, if he was available, he'd be one of the first guys that, say, AEW would go after. You know?
Oh, I would imagine.
I mean, we said it before with Bray Wyatt. Think about it. What did we say about Bray Wyatt that people thought it was an odd thing to say back, what, 8 months or 2 years? We said, this guy could save the WWE. Himself
yes, he did.
Could save it.
Yeah. And I want to point out, Mike, that we got laughed at for that. And, oh, Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt ain't saving nothing. This is way back when he wasn't even wrestling. He just lost the tag team championships with Matt Hardy, and people were saying, oh, he's washed up. And we said, this guy could save it. And everybody laughed at us. He come back with his Fiend character, and we'll look. We knew, we understood that he has that talent. If you just let him do what he does best, he has that talent. And now you're trying to undermine that. Now, I know a fan had written me and asked me to give an update on Matt Hardy. So here's the deal. His contract expired March 1st, I think. He got on YouTube and basically said, I let my contract expire. I still consider the WWE my home. I still love the WWE. They treated my family well. They treated me well. They've given me my start. I'll always consider WWE my home. And I'm sure I'll finish my career out in the WWE. That's what he said. But he said the problem is creatively we have differences. I'm being looked at now not as a guy who has another run in him, but as just a guy who's finishing out his career. And I still think I got 2 or 3 years to really be on top of my game. And that's what I want to do in the next 2 or 3 years, is be at the top of my game. I don't want to do this spot. So that's what I'm doing, but I'm not making any plans. I haven't signed any contracts. Well, here's the deal. Some of his best friends are the Young Bucks, obviously. And they keep tweeting that exalted leader is coming. And so does some of the people from the Dark Order. They know they're helping Matt Hardy out. In other words, they may not sign Matt Hardy, but they know that the more they tweet that, well, we're going to get him, Vince is going to say, up the pay scale. Finally, he's going to say, maybe give him another run. If that's what he wants, give him another run. Anything to keep him from AEW. Young Bucks know that. Cody Rhodes knows that. They're all good friends. So they're saying, hey, I'll help you negotiate your contract. I'll keep teasing that we got you. It's real close to signing you. And they'll all panic and they'll throw all the money in the world at you. Which is what Randy Orton did. And it may be working, because from what I hear, they've offered Matt Hardy some kind of big deal down in NXT and a job after he's done and Hall of Fame and all kinds of things. They're throwing everything at Matt Hardy to keep him out of AEW. And it's very possible that he never intended to go to begin with, that he just said, look, if I let my contract run out, yeah, I'll gladly go to AEW if I don't get what I want, but my buddies over at AEW, they'll help me get what I want. because the more I say I might go over there, the more they say, oh, yeah, he's coming, the more Vince is going to say, well, let's listen to more of what he wants. Let's give him a little more of what he wants. He may come out of this smelling like a rose, and he may come out of this still in WWE, because I got news for you. They can easily put Luke Harper in that position as the grand exalted leader or whatever. They could easily put Luke Harper in that position. They could put Raven in that position. They got other people they could put in that position. They could even put Hangman Page in that position. And don't think they wouldn't swerve that. So they got options because they put the branches on their tree. So they could just be helping out a friend get a really, really strong contract out of this, Mike. So until we know for sure, I'm not considering Matt Hardy totally gone from WWE.
Right. Until we don't know what we don't know, you know. That's the thing. And now, granted, you know, Vince McMahon could be stupid and say, well, I don't trust that you have this going on, so I'm not giving you anything. Now, I'm not accusing him of being stupid. Far be it. He's not a stupid. He may be a little bit gone in his mind, but he's not stupid, you know. He's not. He understands that this guy, that Matt Hardy, is almost his creation. You know, the majority of Matt Hardy's is his creation. Okay, so and he's not going to want Matt Hardy to go someplace else and have another 3-year run. So what you're saying could actually happen where he gives him the sun, the moon, and the stars and including a stint down in NXT, yeah, that could happen. In fact,
and it's not only that, Mike,
likely to happen.
Think about it this way, Mike. He had to know Randy Orton was bluffing. Randy Orton don't want to work as hard as he'd have to work in AEW. Randy Orton doesn't want to put on them type of matches. He's not that young anymore. He doesn't want to do that. So he had to know Randy Orton was bluffing and still handed him the sun and the moon. This isn't really a bluff because Matt Hardy could go over there, could become that grand exalted leader, could do all of those things, and I'm sure AEW would sign him in a heartbeat. But he could also have said to them, well, let's see which way it goes. If I can't get the contract I want, and I mean the exact contract I want, then I'm more than happy to come over and join you guys. But since you guys are my friends, try to help me get this contract I want. Keep tweeting that I'm coming or little hints that I might be coming. And in that way, it'll panic Vince, and maybe he'll give me what I want. If Vince fell for it with Randy Orton, who had no intention of signing with AEW, then he might fall for it with Matt Hardy, who very well could.
Right, and that's the thing. And like I said, it's not so much him falling for it, it's him being pragmatic about it, you know. Yeah, he might be falling for it, but he's being pragmatic about it because in offering, let me just speculate about what might be offered by Vince McMahon, you know, the whole Hall of Fame, the thing with maybe having Reeby Sky come in, maybe, going down to NXT and all that stuff, you know. We're just speculating on that stuff, but that could very well be part of the contract deal that could very well be part of it. So, at any rate, yeah, you know.
Mike, how would you feel about this idea? If I wanted to keep Matt Hardy, could we not sit Matt Hardy down and say, look, here's what we got for you. Yeah, we're going to give you a little more money. Yeah, we're going to give you a little more creative. But here's the main thing, Matt. You were taken out by Randy Orton. Now, we all know Randy Orton's not winning at WrestleMania. We all know that they're not going to let Edge come back and not be able to defend his wife and all that stuff. Randy Orton's getting an ass whipping at WrestleMania. We don't have anything for Randy Orton to do after that because he's not going to fight Edge again. Edge is only contracted for 3 or 4 matches a year, and that feud's going to be done after that. But he took you out, didn't he? And he took you out with multiple shots to the head. How about you come back as that woken character again? Like, you know, you've had some brain damage or whatever. You come back and do all of that stuff you want to do. You can write it. We'll okay it, but you can write it. And you have that longer-term feud with Randy Orton with your whole pack of people. We'll sign Reeby. We'll sign the senior, Benjamin. Jeff's coming back. So Jeff will be in the flock as Brother Nero, and we'll have this whole entire, like, mad universe against Randy Orton, and it'll be kind of fun. I think he'd go for that, Mike.
I think he would too. And look, we wouldn't have to. And in terms of Jeff Hardy, I mean, this could be a boon for Jeff Hardy as well, because we know that as of right now, they're probably not going to bring him back, Jeff Hardy.
No, he's coming. He's actually going to be on. He's going to be on backstage. He's going to be on backstage, and he's coming. He's ready to come.
Right. So, and hell, you know, you look at what could be done with this thing. I mean, and look, if they correct their problems with Bray Wyatt, you could very easily see another feud between Bray Wyatt, a version of Bray Wyatt, and the Woken character. And the whole world
but
universe.
Even if you didn't want to go there, think about the value you would have of Randy Orton not only having to pay the price to Edge for what he did, but then having the burden on his shoulders that you recreated Matt Hardy's Woken character. It brought it out of him again, and now this whole entire bizarre thing is on your head because you did it when you went too far in beating him down. And now here comes all these crazy people and they're all after you. It's kind of like a bittersweet, you know, revenge kind of thing, Mike, where you say, well, you're the one who created it. And now you're stuck in the shitstorm.
Right. And think about this. And we've never seen Rebe in the ring. You know, they could very, and Rebe still, yeah, she's got two, three kids, but she's still just in her early 30s, you know.
Right.
So you could probably get a couple more years out of Rebe in that women's division, and she could help strengthen that women's division. So that's
I think a good run with them would be great, Todd. I mean, I'm not a big fan of this Woken character, but if you want to give Matt Hardy the control over it and say, listen, you're gonna have to be a little serious because you're going after Randy Orton. It can't be total comedy. But at the same time, we'll give you some creative control over it. I think this could be a magnificent boost for the career of Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, and even Randy Orton gives him something to do after WrestleMania.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it would be a great idea to have Matt Hardy do that Woken gimmick, and not a comical way, like a serious feud right there. No comic relief in it. Just a plain serious feud with Hardy and Orton and Jeff and the rest of them.
I mean, I could just see Jeff Hardy right now. I could just see Jeff Hardy right now coming out and saying Randy Orton has no idea what he did. He has no idea what he created. But he did it. He stepped in it. And, you know, he tried to polish off my brother for good, and instead he just recreated him. And here we are again, you know, and I think the fans would love it. I think the fans would love it. And you'd give Matt Hardy that one big run again. It's an easy way to keep him if that's what you want to do. I think he'd go for it. Give him creative control over it. What do you have to lose if you give him creative control over his character? Let him write the skits. Let him do what he needs to do. If it's not working, you tell him, look, this is bombing. This is the shit. We're going to have to end it. But, hey, you're writing a mechanical spider. So don't get on your high horse and say that he can't write something good or can't write something goofy. If Eric Rowan can have a mechanical spider in a cage bite people and draw blood, then Matt Hardy can write his own freaking Woken stuff. And if it seems a little bizarre, let it go and see if the fans like it. That's my advice. Anyway, we all agree it's kind of like a B-minus show. It's a shame because with a little bit more effort, this could have been an A-plus show. If you had got Shayna Baszler over as a major heel and Becky Lynch over as a major face, if you had have gotten Ricochet to win that 24/7 title and put a little bit of credibility into it and rehab him at the same time, if you had have either reunited the Riot Squad, or if you didn't want to do that, don't have no conclusion to the match, just have them all fighting each other, we would have had probably an A-plus show. Because even the mechanical spider probably wouldn't have killed it that much. Rowan's character was already dead when he lost to Ricochet, or Aleister Black twice, and Ricochet and everybody else. He was already dead. It's a shame. just a couple of unforced errors, and you would have had an A-plus show instead of a B-minus. And to be honest with you, it goes to show you how good those two segments were that it averages out to a B-minus, because without those two segments, this would have been a D-minus. This would have been very close to an F. The only thing worth watching without those two segments would have been the Lucha match. That would have been it. So there you have it, folks. That close. That close. I'm very interested to see what they do this Sunday. This will be a very, very interesting Elimination Chamber event. Not because we care about the matches. We don't. I can tell you right now who's winning. Shayna Baszler's winning. And by the way, did anybody notice, Mike, that it went from the winner of the Elimination Chamber will get a championship match to Roman Reigns is automatically getting a championship match and it doesn't matter who wins? Did you notice that?
Right. It really doesn't matter who wins. You know, that's right. And that's the thing. I mean, this should go with the this should go for the Raw Rumble as well, and the other things like this as well. But it doesn't matter. It should just be a prestige thing. You know.
I agree with that. Yep.
And, you know, and that's the thing. And you know, here's the deal. You look at the, and I'm just going to do one more time with Matt Hardy deal. Think about this. What if Matt Hardy comes in and at this pay-per-view and costs Randy Orton his match? And as he's costing him his match, we see him acting like that Woken character. And then after that, the night after that, or the Raw after that, Jeff Hardy comes in and says exactly what you said to say, including adding some to the effect of, for the last few weeks, we've been having problems. His family has been having problems controlling Matt Hardy, keeping him sane.
Right.
You know,
absolutely. I mean, you could have anybody say, look, Matt suffered some serious head trauma. And there are times when he seems fine. There's times when he doesn't. But lately, it's more times he doesn't. And then if he went back to that character, I'm telling you, this would give Randy Orton the perfect foil for the next, I don't know, few months to fight, because, you know, Edge is beating him. So now you've got, well, okay, Edge got revenge, but Matt never did. And Matt was really beaten half to death. Well, now Matt has a chance at his revenge. And this could be a very good thing for Randy Orton, because Orton, who's Mr. Serious, always Mr. Serious, is now up against these bizarre people who I'm sure he would be like, what the hell is wrong with these people? What the hell did I do to him? He's completely off his rocker. Would be kind of interesting to see his reaction to some of Matt Hardy's nonsense. It would be fun. I think the fans would buy into that big time. And I think that Matt Hardy would buy into that big time. You'd sell a ton of merchandise. You'd get a lot of, interest in the product. I don't see a downside. I just don't see a downside. And you'd keep Matt Hardy where you want him. And Matt Hardy has already said unequivocally, I want my career to finish in the WWE. He said that himself. I want to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. I want my career to finish here. But I don't want to sit on the shelf for 2-3 years, wasting the last 2 or 3 years of my career. Well, here you go, Matt. You got another one big run, like you said. And then once that one big run is done, okay, you know what your job is then. It probably is to put some people over and, you know, fade into the writing or training in NXT or whatever, but at least you got a permanent job. You know, you're a WWE Hall of Famer guaranteed. Your career's wrapped up with a nice little bow. I don't see anything wrong with that. And I think the WWE just letting him walk is really silly when it's that easy to fix the problem. It's that easy. And the fans will be entertained by it. Ask the fans. That's what I'd like the WWE to do. Just ask the fans, would you be interested in a Woken Matt Hardy versus Randy Orton feud after WrestleMania that would include all of the characters he brought around in, you know, his past and a little more controlled by Matt Hardy himself, and I guarantee you it'll be a 90% thumbs up. It's even a thumbs up for me, and I don't like the character. That's the thing. I never liked the character. I thought it was a satire of wrestling. It was a little bit stupid, but if you're going to tell me the entertainment value is not there, of course it is. If that's the way to keep Matt Hardy, it even gets a thumbs up from me. So I think about 90% positive reaction is what you would get. How can you not go with that? Seems ridiculous, Mike. It seems like a no-brainer. I'd say they should run with it.
But then again, you asked the question, how can they not go with that? Well, you could also ask that question about Rusev Day.
I agree.
How can they not go with that? You know, so again, it's all in the WWE. If they want to do this right, then they do exactly what we've been talking about. Exactly. If Jeff Hardy's coming back, bring in Reby, bring in Senor Benjamin, have all the drones and the boxing kangaroos and the this
yep.
and the that. Even do some of those things from the Hardy compound, you know?
I agree, yeah. Yeah, let it go. Let Matt have complete creative control over that segment. You tell him you can create whatever you want. We're going to decide who wins and loses, Matt. You know, you don't get creative control to say, I beat Randy Orton every time or whatever. You do get creative control over your segments. You do get creative control over your interviews. You do get creative control over the direction this is taking. Randy Orton apparently likes Matt Hardy and has said so on many occasions. He'd probably love to work with him. And given this kind of a situation where he gets a chance to do a little acting and stuff, Randy apparently likes to do the acting part of it more than the wrestling part of it, where he gets to do his long interviews and he gets to do his, you know, brush up his acting chops. Well, here you go. You tell him, Randy, hey, this is what it's going to be. You're going to be first a little bit amused by this, but then aggravated by it, and then totally, you know, nonplussed by it, saying, what the freak is this? You know, what kind of a circus is this? What the hell did I create? And then your gimmick is just, well, I created it, I'll destroy it. That's all. And Matt Hardy's gimmick is you can't destroy it because, you know, we're unkillable here. That's what the gimmick is. And let the chips fall where they may. But, man, you'd have an entertaining, April, May, June into SummerSlam. Can you imagine? All the great things you could do. Let Matt Hardy have control over this. He has this character down better than anybody else. If it fails, it fails. It costs you nothing and you still have Matt Hardy. See, that's the thing. Vince is just going to throw more money at it. Let's pay him more. He doesn't want the money. He wants to be used. This is the way to do it. You tell him, Matt, we're using you. Matt, you got control over your Woken character. Let's bring back this universe. You give it a shot. You're going to be working with Randy, who you like, and he likes you. Let's get this done. I guarantee you that's a winner, Todd, and I guarantee you the fans would buy into that.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, I would have probably bought into it. I know I don't like the Woken or the Broken gimmick, but I think I'll probably be bought into this as well. And, you know, I think it would be a good idea for have Matt Hardy and Randy Orton in this little feud and have him have creative control of his career.
Yeah. Especially buying into it, Mike, because technically it's Randy Orton who created it when he attacked Matt Hardy and did all that damage that he thought would finish him off. What he really did was create a bigger problem.
Right. And can you see past the Randy Orton feud with this thing? Yes, I can. I can see a possible feud between him and the devil-worshipping Aleister Black, or him and a freshly new method psychotic Bray Wyatt, you know? I can
well,
see that. I can see those branches.
Even the OC, because you could say, well, that's an interesting thing. You got, you know, Matt Hardy, Woken Matt Hardy, and Brother Nero here now, and that's going to be a problem for the OC, or that's going to be a problem for, how about the Monday Night Messiah? You know, you got the Monday Night Messiah and his stuff. Can you imagine the Woken universe being thrown into that? Oh, my God. You know, that would be awesome. So there it is, folks. I mean, you could lay that right out on the table, and the WWE is going to take it or they're not going to take it. I don't know what to tell you. But I know that I understand what Matt Hardy is saying, and I think he's right in the sense that he may never get to do this Woken character in AEW. He probably won't, because he's going to be a much more serious, you know, exalted leader of the Dark Order. But I think he'd like to do it. I think he'd like to do it in the WWE the right way to prove that the way they let him do it was not the right way. So let's hope the WWE snaps into this a little bit, and let's hope the WWE continues good programming like the Randy Orton situation and the Brock Lesnar and Drew McIntyre situation. But let's also hope that they understand that what was in the middle of that show last night was unacceptably bad and negative in a lot of ways to people's characters and their futures. Let's hope they can open their eyes and see that, and then I'll give it an A+. But I can't give shows an A+ that only has a good beginning and a good end. Thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.